Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And today we are chatting here with Bob Koppel, the president and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital in Manhattan. Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Brandon.
Good. It's always, I think that's always a good question to ask our folks on the front lines here, how they're doing, because so many of us are tired of everything going on with COVID, but we have our healthcare workers in our thoughts and prayers every day.
Oh, we appreciate that.
There is some good news on the horizon. Looks like vaccines could be starting to roll into the country here very soon. We saw on Tuesday the first vaccine in the world get administered to, I think it was like a 90-plus-year-old woman. That was shared on CBS News on our radio station. But it looks like the timeline for getting vaccines here locally is also right around the corner.
So it's a complex process, Brandon, but it's also very regulated, and I think in process of that, very safe. So in the U.S., our Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, they're actually responsible for ensuring the safety, the effectiveness, and the availability even of the vaccines in the U.S., and they really are the ones who kind of help manage the process too, of all of the reviews, et cetera. And then you actually have a bunch of other groups in our country that are part of that process too. And I think we can't forget that the actual manufacturers, the Pfizers, the Modernas, or whatever, have poured a ton of resources into this as well over the last months, literally. So the vaccines that are up right now for emergency use authorization, or EUA is another acronym everybody's going to learn. These were first given to patients as part of the clinical trials back in late spring, early summer. And so for many of those patients, they actually now, some of them are at a 6-month mark from when they were vaccinated. So I think too, there's sometimes some people concerned about perhaps the speed with which this has happened. And I think there's also, that's what's normal. You have this 6-month process of after you first vaccinate with anything new, and then they've been following these patients and following their process for this, for months. Both of these also were developed with placebo groups. And so you also had folks who actually nobody in the trial still knows. These people don't know if they actually got the vaccine or if they did not. And so that's, again, it's another safety measure. It's another control measure. And I think from the healthcare perspective on a lot of this, we've seen that throughout this process. People being very diligent, and what they're doing, making sure that we're following good science and following actually our process. This is kind of what normally happens. The emergency use authorization, so that's a little different. And this is actually just a step in final FDA approval. So it's Thursday of this week and Thursday of next week, they are meeting to determine whether or not to grant those emergency use authorizations for both the Pfizer product and for the Moderna product, which would be next week. They actually still go through an approval process with the FDA. That actual process doesn't stop because of the emergency use authorization. What it does is speed up the ability to start delivering this to people. And so that's a key step in the process. But again, I always want to reassure people, it's just another one of those safety steps too that we have in place in our country for doing that. And so kind of as you'd in your opening comment, so how this works then, once the EUA is approved, the companies will start distributing the vaccine out across our country. And how that works is that it actually comes to Kansas Department of Health and Environment, KDHE, and then they start the sub-distribution across our state. And so it's one step to one step and then push it out. I think everybody's probably read about there's some temperature requirements for these vaccines. They're fairly stringent. And so there's also a process to ensure that everything's being kept. It's at a minus 70 degrees Celsius, which is really cold. So even in the state of Kansas, there's been an effort to identify who has freezers that are capable of safely storing this medication. And so there really has been, a lot of detail. And so there, as they push things out, then it'll get distributed to counties, to communities, to health systems, to long-term care facilities, Well, there's a whole process for that too. And you got a ton of people working through just the logistics of that. And so, you know, again, I feel pretty good actually about kind of the path we're on. I'm optimistic that we will get the EUAs approved in Kansas. The first, at this point, we would say the first vaccine we'll get will most likely be the Pfizer product, because it would get its EUA this week. Not something necessarily to be happy about, but, you know, Kansas has had a really high positivity rate for our population, and our hospitalization rate and even our death rate has been one of the highest in the country for the last few weeks. So that helps move you up the priority list. And so it's not a good thing. It's actually not a good list you want to be prioritized on, but that is one of the factors that's helping move material in our direction faster, quite honestly, than other communities are going to see.
Okay. I'm curious with it's different with any vaccine, but will this be something you have to get annually, or will it just be a one-time deal?
So I don't know that we know that yet. So part of it is with any vaccine, there typically is a length of period of time where you have good protection. And so, you know, in our lifetimes, Brandon, you and I, you know, we got some vaccines when we were kids that we've never had to get again, like MMRs, our polio, things like that. Although I think a lot of us did have to get a booster for measles a couple of years ago. But and on the flip side, you've got the flu shot that really is effective for a 6, 7, maybe 8 month time period. And so we get those annually. I don't know that I've read yet anything about the COVID vaccines, because a piece of it is the people who've been in the clinical trials are only at kind of that 6 month mark. And so they haven't had a full year to see what the antibody levels do. Do they maintain or do they drop off? You know, I get in our, at this point, from a conservative standpoint, we're expecting we're going to have to get this with some level of frequency. We just really, I don't know that I've seen anything yet that has said a definitive yes or no about that.
As far as other opportunities, obviously the vaccine's something, and I heard you say that probably publicly we won't have it till the springtime at the earliest.
Well, so again, it all depends. So the U.S. has taken a somewhat different approach. We are actually, as a country, if you will, working down the path with multiple different manufacturers, and all of the manufacturers on a little different timeline for their getting approvals and then their production. So short term, and we're talking December, there will be quantities of the Pfizer and the Moderna products available. And then we would anticipate, as we go into January, February, some of these other products are also going to become available. So then it's just really a question of the logistics of how do we get so many people. I mean, we're talking 330 million people potentially just in our country. And again, that's just the U.S. I didn't count all the other rest of the world. It's really the just getting that done. And I just to give everybody a little perspective. So we've been working internally, like a lot of other organizations, say, so how are we going to vaccinate around 500, 600 people here in Manhattan just within Ascension Via Christi? It is not a simple question. And so that is really, I think, brought to very clear to us that when we talk about, so let's maybe say we need to vaccinate 70,000 people in Riley County, just the logistics of doing that and getting everybody there on the right day and then get their follow-up shot either 3 or 4 weeks later, depending on the product. You know, we may be starting, you know, in the spring of doing the vaccinations. It's just going to take a while. I mean, it's just literally to get to everybody. It's just a huge process, I think. Now, that being said, the Riley County Emergency Operations Center, they're meeting actually, I think, almost daily right now, just focused on that and figuring out the hows and the why. There's a lot of pieces. There's documentation, as you might imagine. And then it's the vaccines are effective when you get both shots. So getting everybody back and getting their second shot, that's actually a key piece of the puzzle too. And in our case, you need to get the second shot of the same kind as the first shot. So you gotta, if in our community, you know, by January, February, we could have 3 to 4 different vaccines available to the health department. And so it's just keeping straight that, so Bob got this one and Brandon got that one and Dave got that one. and how do we sequence to make sure that they're getting their second shot of that same the same material, same vaccine, but they're also getting it on the right day or right days. We're hoping that there's a little bit of a window, and it doesn't have to be exactly on day 21 or day 28. Even a plus or minus one day would be a huge help to get people back in. But, you know, again, it's all doable. We will figure that part out too. There's just the sheer enormity of trying to get this to, you know, 330 million people who are scattered. You know, a lot, in some respects, you got folks who live in very urban areas. You know, we do have in our country, the Houstons, the Chicagos and the New York cities. And then we also have a lot of very small communities that are somewhat, spread out. So how do we get all of that sequenced, and how do we make sure that we're making sure that everybody who's interested and wants to get a vaccine has that opportunity? The access piece is certainly real important.
All right. Well, as far as some other good news on the horizon, I understand the antibody tests are going to be available here shortly too.
So antibody infusions, actually. Okay. So these are targeted for outpatients who are COVID positive. And so there's again, a couple different options from there. We have a couple companies who have their products who've now got their emergency use authorizations from the FDA as well. And what this is, it's an infusion. And there's a bunch of criteria for the patient. So it's not just going to be everybody who says, oh, I got a COVID positive test, now I need to go get an antibody infusion. That is not the dots that get connected. There's a bunch of other criteria. The reason or the thought behind doing the antibody infusions is that you can actually keep people from getting worse and being hospitalized. But there are certain criteria from the vendors, the manufacturers, about what kinds of patients these will be effective for. And interestingly, both of these are recommended for outpatients. They are not recommended medications for inpatients. And so this is kind of it's different than some of the other medications like remdesivir, et cetera, that are really have been specifically for inpatients. These are going to be specifically for outpatients. The logistics around this are, you're going to have to see your primary care physician. They're going to go through and see if you meet the criteria. They're going to write that order. A couple of times a week is our goal, that we would have kind of this little mini clinic, if you will, where these folks would come in together, because they're all positive already. So they would come in together. The infusion is going to take about an hour, and then you're monitored for another hour and a half, just to make sure that everything's okay. You're not having any kind of side effects. And then you would just go back home and finish out your quarantine period. So that's, again, I will butcher the name of the product, but you'll hear about it on the news. It's Bamlanivimab or something like that. I'm really bad about saying some of these things. And then there's a Regeneron product that you've also probably heard about on the news. So we're going to have that available here in the community. We're really kind of waiting to see how big the actual population of patients are that meet all the criteria. So that's kind of the next, as we're doing our preparation to be able to deliver the medication, that's going to be some of the conversation with the local physicians to say, so who really falls in this kind of parameter bucket that's a candidate for this medication? Because what they're saying is, if you don't fall within the criteria, it is not going to provide you any benefit. So that's why we got to make sure we're giving it to people where there's a potential benefit for them. Because that's obviously, we want to help people.
All right. That'll be interesting to watch here as well. We'll continue.
Getting in the weeds today, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we'll continue our conversation. We were talking with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi President and CEO. We'll have more of that conversation up next here on KMAN.